And now,
Hugo McCord.
I appreciate getting to review with you a few thoughts from the book of Esther. One of my favorites, and it becomes more precious with the years. Several things Brother Wendell said, give it 1, 2, 3, and 4, what these men can take home to preach. I hope that you will, if you haven't recently preached on the book of Esther, get with it. Now, this book has been the subject of criticism. The name of God is not mentioned in it. And for that reason, some said it doesn't belong in the Bible. However, that was not a problem with Josephus. When he announced that there are only 22 books that we consider sacred. When you check what he meant by the 22, we can't go into it now. He meant the 39. For example, he listed all 12 of the minor prophets in one book. So you can see how he concentrated things. He got down to 22 books, but it included the book of Esther. That criticism didn't affect Jesus Christ, for he considered all these 39 as being the Bible, Luke 24, 44. But some still criticize the book of Esther, even up to 90 A.D. at the Council of Jamnia, down close to Ascalon, when a group of Jews decided it does belong, but they really couldn't decide it. It had already been decided. All they were doing was just rubber stamping it, just corroborating what had already been decided. A precious book it is, and the first of these points, Brother Wendell's sermons always are so well outlined and ought to be. The first is this word Shushan in verse 2. One of the things about the book of Esther is that a long time scholars could criticize there never was such a city as Shushan or Susa. All made up. They could say that until 1901, if I remember the detail, when the archaeologists found the ancient city of Susa, Hammurabi's palace, and then the palace in which Esther lived. And you get the books on archaeology and read about this city and its discovery, and the tall pillars that were there, still there. Susa is in southwest Iran. We had on our schedule to go there in 75 and got blocked out. I'm glad I can't go now. I don't want to be there now. But in Iran, in southwest Iran, the city of Susa, I wanted to go there. And you see some of the very pillars still there that Esther saw when she lived in this beautiful palace. Look down through those verses 2-8, the description of the palace, which at one time was thought as being mythical, all made up, just a fairy tale, the story of Esther. But now there is archaeological confirmation of the capital city. So that's the first thing that I believe. That's faith building to me. Second, look at verse 9, that word Vashti. No, we haven't gone to Esther yet, the girl, the beautiful girl, but don't pass over the story of Vashti. This woman had respect for her modesty. And though her husband, now a wife is supposed to be in subjection to her husband, but not in everything. If he says, you drive the car while I rob a bank, obeying your husband's gone too far. And if a husband says, expose yourself, you're beautiful, to these half-drunken men sitting here, Vashti says, I'm not going to do it even for a kingdom. And she knew the price of it. She had more quality in her and a deeper character than some girls today that have been dipped in water. Let's think it through. God sees everything. Here is a woman of character. Way back in ancient, I don't think she ever saw a Bible. But as Brother Lanier referred to this morning from Romans 2, she had a law written in her heart. She never saw a written Bible. But somehow she knew that you ought to be modest. And she lived by her standard and she had to pay a price for it. So she is a heroine in the Bible. I'm not saying she's going to heaven. Judge nothing before the time, for as that's concerned. I don't know that situation. But I know she's to be more admired than some young ladies today that go out in public with shorts on where men are. I think she's much more to be admired. And there's some mothers that take up for their daughters dressing that way. So that's an important point and should not be neglected, and there's much more could be said about it. But I'm just giving a few minutes. And the third thing, over in the second chapter, verse 7, we'll get to this beautiful girl Esther. And the maiden was fair and beautiful. But every one of you, remember that your mother taught you pretty is as pretty does. And the fact that she had a pretty face was not the most important thing. You remember back in about 2 Samuel 14 about Absalom. That in all Israel there was no one to compare with him in handsomeness. From the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. He was beautiful, the Bible tells us. But his heart was ugly and treacherous. And wanted to kill his daddy. Pretty is pretty does. Thank God Esther was pretty both ways. Not only outside, but inside. Look at verse 20 of the same chapter. Esther did the commandment of Mordecai, like as when she was brought up with him. She was away from home now. And she was living in a palace, but she didn't look down her nose at the man who had become her father. And she remembered what he had taught her, even though she was now away from home. Admirable? Yes, this book belongs in the Bible. Then, the chief thing is in the fourth chapter. When Mordecai sent word to this girl about the decree that all Jews must die, and maybe, Esther, you'll be able, in your position of influence, to do something no one else can do. And he appealed to her in three ways. I wish you would note them. Verse 13 is one of them. Verse 14 is the other two. So a foster father reasoning with her, his married daughter. Don't you think that just because you're living in the king's palace that you can save your own neck? You're a Jew too, Esther. That would make a woman think. One could take that position. Now, I know the rest of my folks are going to be killed, but I'm in the king's palace. I won't be hurt if she was selfish, if she is selfish. Now her foster father says, don't you think you're going to be an exception just because you're where you are? You're a Jew. It'll be found out. So that's the first motivation he put before. Second, now, if you decide to stay mum, to keep quiet, and try to not let anyone know that you're a Jew, don't you think that the Jews are going to die? There will be deliverance to them from some other source. All the faith and the providence. God not in this book. God's all the way through it. Providence. His name doesn't have to be mentioned. Mordecai's faith. He believed in Genesis 12:3. He knew the Jews had a purpose to bring the glorious Messiah into the world. He had faith in that. He knew the Jews couldn't be exterminated. He knew they couldn't. He didn't know how God was going to work it out, but he knew he would. So he said, Esther, deliverance will come from some other source if you let God down. And the third, and that's the most important, a sermon all by itself. Look, who knows but that you come to the kingdom for such a time as this. That ought to put her on a pedestal as well as on a spot. I believe that's true about each one of us. Jesus believed that. I'm not personally important, but God sent me for a purpose. He that sent me is with me. He hath not left me alone. John 8:29. There are three things in John 8:29. And two of them you and I need to emulate and to try our best on the third. Jesus was perfect in all three. I fall short on number three, but we're to die trying. But I believe, just as Mordecai believed, Esther, you're in this generation, in this city, in this spot, to do God's will. Don't let him down. Esther, God has put you here. Jesus said, he that sent me, he sent Esther, he sent Jesus, he sent you for a purpose. Say it then. He that sent me is with me. Believe in God's providence. You don't feel him. Esther didn't feel him, but she knew he was there. Mordecai taught her. She believed it, and she acted upon it. He that sent me is with me. He hath not left me alone. She had to go in with shaking knees before the king, physically unaccompanied. But she knew she wasn't alone. And like Jesus, she tried her best at least to do all those things that are pleasing in his sight.